Well, thank you for those kind remarks, and I am certainly humbled, and certainly the purpose of our anniversary is not to put attention on me. Now, my wife deserves every bit of the credit that she has been given, but we appreciate all of you. Probably a good thing to do, we ought to do this, have everybody have an appreciation day for you. That would be a great thing, and there's a lot that could be said about each one of you. And certainly one of the things that we try to do is, during Thanksgiving, is to have a time of thankfulness. And so it's wonderful to be able to serve the Lord. I have probably a 40-minute message up here, and that's okay. I'm going to probably quote more verses, and I'll have you take time to look at. Let me just mention that Philippians 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, to be content. And basically, there's things you've learned. I have a book in my library. It's a sermon book by Bob Jones Sr., and it's entitled Things I Have Learned. And so, without going into a long introduction of this, I wanted to take a few minutes to share, and I've entitled, and I told Brother Ken, give a title to my message, Things I've Learned in 35 Years of Ministry. And these are some things that I could probably go on and on and on about, but I have listed five things in my sermon, and we'll see how many we'll get to. So first of all, number one, what I would say that I've learned is that we need to rely on God, not people. We need to rely on God, not people. And if you take your Bibles, I will turn you there to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, here is the Apostle Paul. He's about ready to be martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have noticed he mentions different people. He mentioned how that verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. And basically you had people leaving for good reasons, bad reasons. But Paul, under the inspiration of God, says in verse 16, at my first answer, and that was when he first went to trial, he says, no man stood with me. Can you imagine that? No one was there by him in his time of need. But he said, all men forsook me. And then he says, I pray God that may not lay to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And I was actually, I shared some of these thoughts when I was at the FBF meeting and people being discouraged and so forth. And I pointed them to 2 Timothy 4. And it's interesting that whether for good or bad reasons, people will disappoint you. And sometimes they do it because of weakness. Sometimes they do it because of sin. Sometimes they do it because they've been listening to the wrong people. But I remember when I first started our church, my wife and I came here, and it was really growing. And I thought, man, this is wonderful. You know, this was the place God would have us. You know, our church is really going to do well. We were filling up that daycare center. And all of a sudden, soldiers started getting transferred. And I thought, whoa, you know, this person's gone. Now this person's gone. And I thought, now what? What are we going to do? And they almost left without even caring that they were hanging us out to dry, you know. It's like, oh, going to the next duty station. Whoa! And I'm thinking, wait a minute, don't leave, you know, and this kind of thing. And I then realized, you know what? I started with nobody except for my wife and God. And God took care of us. And you know what? In 35 years, God has taken care of us. Amen. And over the years, some left us, some for good reasons, some for bad reasons. But God has not stopped being faithful. And I would say to you, for those of you that, you know, you live your life, especially you younger people, you know, don't put all your dependence on people. Not that people are bad, just that sometimes, you know, they're just human. But the fact is, God will always be faithful. And I love what Paul says, everyone forsook me, but the Lord did not forsake me. The second thing I learned was it's important to stay consistent in God's word. And Psalm 119, if you want to study that at some point, but in verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And I'm glad that that was emphasized, that God promises to bless you if you daily meditate on His word and pray to Him. And I started off in our ministry believing that by theory. But now I've looked back and I saw that that is so true. And God promises to bless you if you'll meditate on His word. I've tried to read the Bible every day for the last 35 years. And as a result, I find myself thinking biblically all the time. The other night, we had a visitor, and I sat down with him. We got out of here about 9:30 or so, just before 9:30. And I'm visiting with him, and he's asking me questions about the Bible or making statements that the Bible said. And it was just a joy to me to say, you know, I know that verse. I know that passage. It doesn't say that, or it does say that. And to be able to have the assurance that I know God's word, it will keep you from wandering too far from God. And so stay with God's word, and you will learn to be thankful for it. The third thing I learned is that we need to remember that God will provide all our needs. God will provide all our needs. Philippians 4, verse 19 tells us that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And of course, he's writing to a church that's very generous. You know, people who are ungenerous like to claim that verse. But it's a really, in its context, Paul is saying, because you've been generous, God's going to meet your needs. And certainly God is able to meet our needs. God knows all our needs. He knows our physical needs. He knows our emotional needs. He knows our spiritual needs. And we need to cast all our care on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And, you know, I think about, you know, this building. You know, I'm always somewhat embarrassed by showing some of the pictures when we're building. I mean, this structure's going up and there's weeds everywhere. I don't know if you noticed that. And the reason was because God kept the rain away. Though it was predicted to, I mean, it went around this building. And we were able to keep that building, that project going. We brought in teams that would do things. And you only had so much time to do it. And if it did rain, it rained in the night. So there was no way to take care of cutting down those things. But you know what? God provided for us. God provided workers to come in. He's provided people like you to come in and fill the gap in the ministry. And there's so many things that need to be done. And, you know, I mentioned about people leaving. One of those people that left us at the first of our ministry is right now sending thousands and thousands of dollars to our ministry. You know, God always meets our need. And if you serve the Lord, and sometimes even when you don't serve the Lord, He'll take care of you. Now, He'll take care of you maybe sometimes in a different way. It could be chastening or whatever. But God will take care of you. And it's just been a blessing. I just, you know, I look at all the people and all the things that took place. You know what? And Pastor Nathan kept saying, it's to God be the glory. Let me just say, it is God that gets the glory. Bob Jones Sr. would tell the story about how one time he had a fella coming to his office, and he started showing around the campus. And after the fella left, he got back to his office and said, "I didn't give God the glory for that." So he ran down and caught the guy and said, Hey, I want you to know, God did this." And that's what we have to understand. God is the one who will meet our every need. And if you have been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that God will meet your need. The fourth thing I learned is that sometimes God allows unexplainable setbacks. Now, let me emphasize that. Some things happen to us and we say, "Yeah, I deserve that." Because of maybe some sin in my life or some crazy decision I made or something dumb that I did. And I say, "Okay, Lord, you're trying to get my attention." But there's some times when God will sometimes cause what we think are bad things to happen and we can't explain it. It's called a paradox. It seems like a contradiction. And that's what a paradox is. You know, Genesis 50, Joseph said regarding his brethren, "As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." Joseph had been given the promise that God was going to use him in a very special way, but everything he did seemed to contradict that. He would be blessed. Next thing he knows, he's sold as a slave down in Egypt. He goes into Egypt, and things are going well, and next thing he knows, he's in prison because of a wicked accusation of a woman. And yet, when you see the full story, he ends up becoming the second in charge of Egypt. And it's really interesting because Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes you can't see it, but you have to understand that God does. And I think of situations. There's two very perplexing situations that happened in our lives here in this ministry. Number one, my wife and I were not able to have children. And as a result of that, we thought, "Well, you know, I guess it's God's will." And that led to us being able to adopt Matthew. And we were so glad to have Matthew in our home. And certainly, if we had not had that situation, we would not have had Matthew. But then my wife gets pregnant. And I thought, "Wow, that's kind of amazing. People say adopt someone and adopt a child and you have a baby." And I thought, "Well, that's not statistically true." Well, now we're going to have a baby. Then my wife has a miscarriage. And I'm thinking, "Lord, what are you doing?" Now, to this day, I still don't understand that. But I also know that God does. I know that in the case of our, we tried three times to have a Christian school in this church. And usually when the Lord laid it on our hearts to go in a certain direction, God took care of us and did it. But for some reason, that Christian school did not always do as well as we wanted it to do. We had to end up closing the doors. It was perplexing. And yet, I look back and I see there's people like Brother Joe Willis that came and was a principal of our school. We had children that were here that were involved in serving the Lord. But I still don't always understand that. And sometimes life throws you a curve. All you can do in those situations is say, "I'm just going to trust God." And I have found that sometimes God allows unexplainable setbacks. And when life throws you a curve, just trust God. The fifth thing, and I'm done, no matter what happens, don't quit. Whatever happens, don't ever quit. Until God is through with you. Are you still in 2 Timothy? Okay, look at verse 7. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Ephesians 6:18 says, "Having done all to stand, stand." Sometimes you feel like you've done everything you know to do. you just keep standing for the Lord. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, finish the job. Finish the job. You know, I have to admit, I'm not the smartest Christian. I'm not even a great preacher. I wish I could be a better pastor, and I'm not the best pastor. But I think there's one thing that I've been able to accomplish, and that is to not quit. Amen. And just keep on keeping on. You know, the last 5 years, honestly, have been the most difficult years of my entire life. And, you know, I just wanted to quit. I just wanted to say, I'm done. I'm out of here. And, but by God's grace, He just kept me going. And I would just say to you, when you're tempted to quit, don't. You know, so many people over the years I've watched, and they make a good show for a little bit of time. But next thing you know, you find out they're all running around in the world. They have no interest in the things of God. And I would just say, don't ever give up. And I would hope that you would say, be able to say, that I am going to stand for the Lord until the day I die. And the scripture tells us that Paul, what a testimony, before he was martyred, he was able to say, I have finished my course. And I would just say to you, don't quit. You're going to be tempted to quit. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to sometimes talk about you. They're going to gossip about you. There's going to be a lot of things that take place that you just wonder, what in the world am I going to do? I might as well just give up. Church doesn't love me anymore. I'm gone. Don't do that. Having done all to stand, and make sure that when you're tempted to quit, keep going. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I ask that you would just somehow help us as we serve you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just somehow protect us from evil. And Lord, you tell us in your word to pray that prayer. Deliver us not into temptation. Now, Father, help us during this hour. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say that maybe you might find yourself struggling in your Christian life and you're tempted to quit. Or maybe you have been let down by people. Or you're struggling accepting something that you can't understand. Can I just say, cast all your care on the Lord. And maybe you say, I haven't been very consistent in my Bible reading. But you know what? You can start today. And God would love to just be in control of your life. Now, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to pray again. But maybe God has worked in your heart, because maybe you're struggling. Maybe you felt let down. Or maybe you haven't been consistent. Maybe something else is dealing with you. And I'd like to pray for you. I really would. And I want to close in prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation. But you say, preacher, include me in that prayer, would you? Is there anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Amen. You know, the Lord sees your hands, and He sees your heart. Now, Father, I just pray for these several people that raised their hands. And Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in their lives. I ask that you would guide them, direct them, help them, strengthen them. Father, if there's someone here struggling, Lord, whatever that struggle is, help them to trust you. And Lord, help them not to put their eyes on people or circumstances or jobs or anything like that, but they would put their eyes on you. And help them, Father, to study your word and to get into your word and live by it. And because, Father, we know that you are able to do all things well. Now, Father, bless us. Help us, Lord, even during this invitation time. Speak to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, let's stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe God is dealing with your heart, whatever you would want God would have you to do. Maybe you want to just kneel and pray at your seat. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and pray. Whatever your need. The pianist is going to play, and if God's dealing with you, you come.